I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to spend our time in chapters 3 and 4. In this first hour, as we take a look at overcoming excuses in evangelism. We have been looking at this theme of seeking the lost in our first hour of assemblies on the Lord's Day and gearing up towards spending some time looking at some how-to studies and how we reach out and the things that we can do and how to engage in a Bible study, how to get those started and how to teach those. But we're doing some prep work in that, preparing ourselves and working on ourselves as we work towards that. Whenever we talk about evangelism and personal evangelism and getting out and seeking and saving the lost and talking to people about their soul salvation, for many of us, that's asking us to get outside of our comfort zone, isn't it? We have our comfort zones. We have those areas in our life that we're comfortable staying within. There are some who excel at evangelism. They excel at meeting people and bringing up the difficult subjects. But it seems like those are a few of us. The rest of us, we have our comfort zone. We like to stay in that. And whenever we're challenged to get outside of our comfort zone, we can be tempted to think of and offer excuses for not doing that. If we really don't want to do it, we can start to brainstorm. We can start to think, well, here's some reasons why I shouldn't be expected to do that. Here's some reasons why I should be exempted from that. And we weren't the first to do that. Moses tried that. Moses tried that with God back in Exodus chapters 3 and 4 when God appeared to him in the burning bush and God told him to go back to Egypt, to go stand before Pharaoh and deliver my people, Israel, out of Egypt. We're going to look at how Moses responded to that, and then we're going to look at the way that God responded to that. And we're going to, as we do so, let's examine ourselves. Let's see what we can learn about this. What are some excuses that Moses gave for not going back to Egypt? The first one, he tried to use the excuse, I am not qualified for this work. I am not the man for this task. You've got the wrong person for the job. I can't do this. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses had been in Egypt. He had been in the house of Pharaoh. He knew it took a certain kind of person to be able to approach Pharaoh. Not just anybody could stroll in there. Not just anybody could approach the most powerful man in the world at that time, the leader of Egypt, and make a demand like what God was wanting. And Moses, knowing himself and knowing what that required, Moses said, I'm not the man for this job. We need to remember that God never calls upon us to do something that we're unable to do. God knows us. God created us. He knows what our strengths and weaknesses are. So when God calls upon us to do something, He knows already that we're able to do this. God has called upon us as disciples of Christ to go and make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. The Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And that last thing he commanded was to go and make disciples. Mark's account is that we're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is a general command that is given to all followers of Christ. The fact that God tells us to do it means that we can. So that takes this excuse immediately, automatically off of the table. Parents, those of you who are raising young children, or those of you who have been there before, how do you feel whenever you tell your child to do something and your child responds, I can't do that without even trying? I can't do that. How do you feel? You get a little upset. I know Christy and I get a little upset about that. We all get a little upset. How do you think God feels when we read in the scriptures of what His expectations are of us and our first reply is, I can't do that? How do you think God feels about that? How do you think that he would respond? We don't fail at personal work when we fail to produce converts. The way we fail at personal work is when we refuse to do it at all. That's how we fail at personal evangelism. God tells us to do it. Now, I want you to notice how the Lord responded to this first excuse. You've got the wrong man, Moses says. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God said, I will certainly be with you. God said, you're not going there alone. You're not doing it alone. I will be with you. I will help you with that. And the same thing is true for us. If we are in the Lord's vineyard, if we are doing the work that the Lord has given us to do, he's there with us, helping us with that. You remember, again, the Great Commission. The apostles were told, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So as this gospel age continues, when you and I are in the fields laboring, bringing in the harvest, the Lord is there, overseeing, blessing that work, helping us with that work. We are the ones for the job. Well, Moses saw that this first excuse didn't get him off of the hook. And so in chapter 4, verse 1, he tries a different excuse. Instead of looking at his own inadequacies, he looked at those that he would be going to, and he anticipated their failure. He says, Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. I've already tried this. 40 years ago, I tried to lead them, and they didn't respond. They're not going to do it now. I could put forth the effort to go all the way back to Egypt, but I'm telling you, it's not going to work. They're not going to listen to me. That was his second excuse. Well, God had a response to that. God gave Moses miracles to perform. They're going to believe. I'll see to it that there's no way they won't believe. Well, he's not promised us the ability to perform miracles. But there are some things that we do learn from the Word of God that should help us to overcome this excuse. What if no one believes in me? Well, the Bible says that not everyone is going to believe. God knows that beforehand. He knows that before he sends us. Not everyone's going to believe. There's going to be some wayside soil hearts out there. There's going to be some who are not going to receive. There's going to be some who are going to obey and then quickly fall away. There are going to be some who have that good and honest heart, and they're going to be faithful to the Lord for the rest of their lives, thankful for you that you've taught them the truth. But not everyone's going to believe. We know that to begin with. So that takes this excuse off of the table. And let's remember that our task is to spread the word, not to force people into the baptistry. Our job is to spread the word, to scatter the seed. Again, the only way we fail is by leaving the seed in the barn. That's the only way that we fail. So not everyone is going to believe. That takes that excuse off of the table. We need to be busy doing what the Lord has told us to do. Here's a third excuse that Moses tried. Anticipating the failure on the part of his audience didn't get him off the hook, so he turns back to himself and he says, I don't know what to say. Again, you've got the wrong person. I'm not equipped to do this. I don't know how, I don't know what to say. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Let me ask you a question. Did God not know that to begin with? God knew that to begin with. God knew Moses' abilities, and he knew his weaknesses and his disabilities. But still, he told him to go. God didn't accept this excuse from Moses. Look at what God says. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say. God had made Moses. He knew exactly what Moses was capable of. He knew that he could go and do this. This excuse wasn't going to work. And he would give Moses the exact words to say. He would give Moses the things that he was to say. The Lord does not send us out into the fields unequipped and unprepared. The Lord has given us a whole book full of instructions, full of words to say. I want us to consider a few things on this point. I don't know what to do. I'm not equipped to do this. Somebody else needs to do this. I'm not equipped to do it. Let's consider these points. Number one, remember that the power to save souls is in the gospel. It's not in the speaker. It's not in the personal worker. It's not in you. It's in the gospel. We need to remember. We need to memorize. We need to have at the forefront of our hearts and of our minds and written in our hearts, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The gospel is the power of God. We are simply the messengers. Or as we looked last week, I believe it was, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Someday this earthen vessel will be used up, it will be broken, and that treasure will be passed on to someone else. The power is in the gospel, not in us. It's not in our ability to get someone's attention. It's not in our ability to win an argument. That's not where the power lies. The power lies in the gospel. Secondly, I would remind you that when it comes to setting up studies, when it comes to seeking and saving the lost, you really don't have to say much at all. Moses says, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't know how to do this. I can't speak very well. The fact is, you don't have to say very much at all. Remember what it was that got Peter to Jesus? It was Andrew, his brother, saying, come and see. Three words. Come and see. The same thing for Nathanael. Philip says, come and see. The Samaritan woman at the well, in John chapter 4, she runs into the village and she tells the men there, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? That was it. Two sentences. And all the men of the city come out and they believe in Jesus. Whenever Philip encounters the Ethiopian eunuch and he rushes up to the chariot and he hears him reading the prophet Isaiah, do you understand what you're reading? Six words. And that started that study that resulted in him being baptized for the remission of his sins. It is that simple. In Acts chapter 16, whenever the jailer wakes up in the middle of the night and sees that the doors of the prison are open and assumes that everyone has left, he draws his sword, he's about to do himself in, and Paul cries out from the darkness of that prison, do yourself no harm. We are all here. Not many words at all. And it got the attention of that jailer. He rushes in, pulls out Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It doesn't take as much as you probably think it does. And you already know more than you probably think you do. And we're going to talk in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about being ready to answer and why it's important that you and I know the Scriptures and that we be prepared to answer questions that we receive. But before we get there, I want to remind you in this hour that you probably already know more than you think you do. You know what it takes to become a Christian because you did it. You became one. If you were put on the spot, you could remember, you could answer questions that were asked of you from the Scriptures. Don't do like Moses. Don't underestimate yourself. You already know more than you probably realize that you do. Here's another point. Confidence comes with experience. Until we get outside of our comfort zone, it's always going to be uncomfortable. It's always going to be something that we are apprehensive about, that we dread, perhaps even that we fear. We've got to step out and do it. And the more we do it, the more confident we will be. And confidence is the key. Confidence is the key to helping us to overcome fears and to step out in the vineyard and do the work that God has given us to do. Now, this excuse didn't work for Moses. Why do we think it will work for us? Well, Moses went through his excuses and he ran out of excuses. And finally, he's honest and he says what the real problem is. But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. I don't want to do this." That's what Moses has been thinking all along, but he's been coming up with excuses. God wouldn't accept any of them. So now he's got to just say the way it is. "I don't want to do it. I don't want to go all the way back there. I'm happy with my life now. I've been here as a shepherd in Midian for 40 years. I'm happy with this. I don't want to step out and to go over there." Well, God wouldn't accept that excuse either. Moses was the man for this job. He was the man for this task. It wasn't an accident that his life was spared and that he was discovered in the Nile River by the daughter of Pharaoh. That wasn't an accident. That was God's providence at work. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh, where he received the best education anyone of that time could have received. He learned how to speak before Pharaoh. He grew up with Pharaoh. He knew him. There wasn't anyone better qualified for this job than Moses was. God has created each and every one of us. God, through his providence, has worked through our lives, allowing us to experience the things that we have experienced, which has given us the insights that we have. We have learned lessons by overcoming the challenges that we have faced in our lives. We are put in unique stations in our lives where we know people that no one else in the congregation does. It's no accident that you are where you are. God has put us there for a reason. Who are we to say, "Send anybody else but me," when God says, "No, I've been working on you your entire life to equip you to do this. You are the person for the job." Notice how this response affected God. The text doesn't say that the anger of the Lord was kindled with the first excuse, the second one, or the third. But this one caused the Lord to be angry. Here's Moses saying, "I'm out of excuses. The fact is, I just don't want to go." And that angered God. How does God respond to the excuses that we offer? How does God, who knows our hearts, and while we're busy thinking of excuses, why we're not really the ones who are cut out to do this work, let somebody else do it, God knows what's really in our hearts. How does he react to that? I want you to think about that. The last thing that you and I should ever want to do is to make God angry. And make God angry at us. But here's something that angers God when we tell him, "No, I'm not going to do it." When it comes to seeking and saving the lost, that's a work that all of us need to be involved in. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. God is patient. He desires all to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. But you and I have a role to play in that. We've discussed that already. Passages like Romans chapter 10, 13 through 15 show that we are the ones that have that treasure. We are the ones that have that message. We are the ones that take the powerful gospel to those who need to hear it. We don't need to be offering up excuses. You know what we learn from Exodus chapters 3 and 4? God has an answer for any excuse that we can come up with. He has an answer for any excuse that we can come up with. He's heard it before. He's been there before. He's dealt with people like you and me before. So instead of being like Moses and coming up with excuses, I want to encourage you, let's all be like Isaiah. Let's be like Isaiah, and when we see that there is a need, let's respond by saying, "Here am I, send me. Let me be the one to go." Let's work on this attitude. If indeed this is something that we are challenged with, that when we think of evangelism, the first thing we think is, that's out of my comfort zone, and we start thinking of excuses, why not to be involved? Moses has already taken care of that for us. None of that's going to work. So let's overcome these excuses and let's pray to God for courage to step out of our comfort zone and to do that work that most desperately needs to be done. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to your throne at this moment, thankful for your patience. Thankful that you've been patient with your people as we struggle to learn, as we struggle to see things the way you would have us to see them, and as we struggle to overcome ourselves and the temptation to offer excuses in the place of heartfelt obedience. We pray that you would help us to look upon our fellow man the way your Son has, and that we would see those who are lost and in need of the power of your gospel, and that we would be willing to step forward to say the things and do the things necessary to help people to hear and to obey your gospel. We pray that you would bless this congregation. Pray that you would help all of us to be busy and to be active in seeking and saving those who are lost. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. We have a few more minutes than usual this morning, but we're dismissed now, and our classes will start in about 7 minutes.